Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Make sure you enter today's Fox Bet Super 6 NBA contest for a chance to win $25,000. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick the outcome of six of today's NBA games for your chance to win. It's completely free to play.
So if I pick the winners, not even point spreads, I get 25 grand.
Yep, the correct outcomes of six of
the I'm not allowed to win. I don't think I'm allowed to win.
I don't think you're qualified, no.
No, they're petrified that I would enter. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. Three Super Bowl rings, a multiple-time Pro Bowler, resides in Denver. Mark Schlereth now joining me live. All right, what's your initial takeaway on Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers? Ready, set, go. What's your take?
I think it's a great move for the Carolina Panthers. If you're not in love with one of the quarterbacks that is available at number eight, then go get yourself a guy that, frankly, probably needs a year of football rehab after playing for the Jets. But, like, go get yourself a guy who's young, who's talented. He's still only 23 years old. The thing that blows me away, Colin, is that we think, or we've been sold this bill of goods, that all you have to do is draft a quarterback and all your problems are solved. Right? That's all you have to do. And then we act surprised, like the Jets. We're surprised that we draft a guy, we don't support that guy with a good enough roster around him, and then we act surprised that he fails. I mean, you're going out of the frying pan into the fryer, so you really haven't increased the value or increased the level of your football team in general, but now Sam Darnold couldn't fix it, so now Zach Wilson will fix it for us. I mean, it's such a flawed way of thinking that you're just going to get a different quarterback and all those things will be fixed. You know, I think about quarterbacks in this general terms of covering warts. There are literally, we have been sold this bill of goods that if you get a quarterback, you just cover a bunch of warts. So I think there are three or four quarterbacks in the league that cover warts. The rest of the quarterbacks in the league expose your warts. Right? There's Aaron Rodgers, there's Patrick Mahomes, there's, Russell Wilson. Everybody else just exposes warts.
Yeah.
And so you were talking about the game last night, watching the physical whooping that it reminded me of my dad. You know, we call my dad poolside. My poolside would say, when I get a little feisty as a kid, he'd go, "You need to step behind the barn with me? Like, you want to go behind the barn? Because we can get it done back there," right? It was a physically dominant performance by Baylor, and I think of the NFL that way. Everybody just thinks that you can get a quarterback and you can fix things. Show me the team that dominates the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively, and I'll show you a team that wins, very much like what Baylor did to Gonzaga last night. So, I think that we have been sold this bill of goods that any quarterback will fix your problems. Most quarterbacks just expose your problems. They don't fix them. There's only a handful that actually fix them.
So, Mark, you do NFC games for Fox. I'm sure you've done a Carolina game this year. If not, I apologize. But what is Darnold stepping into? Offensive line's okay. They got a good right tackle. They have a center that used to be a Broncos center that's banged up a lot. But what are we talking? Offensive line weapons. You know Carolina. You've seen them. What is he stepping into here?
Well, I think he's stepping into, I look at them from just a pure talent standpoint. I think they need to be better and utilize the tight end position better than they have. So that's a position they have to get better at. A wide receiver position, I think they are loaded. I think DJ Moore is about as good as you get. I mean, he puts up 1,200 yards every year.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who he is. And then, the one good player you have with the New York Jets, you let him go to Carolina in the first place. So there's there's Peaches and Herb you're going to reunite. Sam Darnold with Robbie Anderson. Christian McCaffrey is just a difference maker when healthy. So I think you're stepping into a much better situation. They have to be better up front. They have to develop a real running game. And I think Matt Rhule, having talked to him multiple times this year covering, I think I did two Carolina games, but he said something to me that resonated with me. And very much like you said about Bilotti earlier in the show, that really resonated with me was, if you have to scheme your running game every week, it means you don't have a running game. And so what that means is, if you don't have a set of tenets, if you don't have a belief in something, this is who we are, this is what our identity is, and when we're in a critical situation, when everybody knows, hey, we're running the ball, you have to be like Globo Jim, you know, from Dwight Goodman. We're better than you, and we know it. You got to say, we're going to line up, we're going to run 19 handoffs strong, and damn it, we're going to cram it down your throats, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you get into the red zone, when you get into short yardage situations, that's something that they have to develop that they haven't had. So, but I believe from just a pure weapon standpoint, they've got some unbelievable players out there to really take some pressure off of Sam Darnold.
So Atlanta has the number 4 pick. We presume the Jags, Jets, and Niners take quarterbacks. That's almost a certainty. Atlanta doesn't need one. They are now acknowledging through various reports, we're taking calls. Seems to me, if Drew Lock's your quarterback, you're destined for fourth place. Elway's impatient. Denver's a great sports town. There's a lot of options. I mean, I know it's a Broncos town, but at some point, that looks like a fourth place team. Do they move up to number 4 and get the number 4 quarterback available?
Right. I would be shocked. George Payton, who's running the organization now from the standpoint of being the general manager, he's dipped his toes into the water, right? I mean, he went and dipped his toes into the Matthew Stafford pool, and he found out it was too deep, right? He's like, I'm not going to get all the way in. That water's cold. And so my thought process is this. He's coming into a situation where there are multiple needs that need to be met. And you look at what San Francisco gave up to go up to number 3 overall. They gave up, you know, they swapped 3 for 12. They gave up 2 more first rounders in the upcoming drafts and a third rounder. And I believe that I've seen George Payton now living here in Denver kind of dip his toes in the quarterback market a little bit. Whether it was, you know, let's kick the tires on Sam Darnold. Let's kick the tires on Teddy Bridgewater. Let's jump in a little bit into the Matthew Stafford pool. I think what he is looking at is saying, hey, listen, man, I don't want to move up and have to give up all that capital when we're still 2 or 3 years away from building a roster that can be competitive in our own division with Kansas City, with what the Chargers are doing right now and Herbert. Like, I just don't believe that I think he's more apt to trade out a 9 and move down and collect more picks than he is to move up to number 4 to go get a quarterback. Here's the other thing. If you don't know who San Francisco's taking, this is how you put yourself in a position as an NFL organization to be in the top 10 every year. You know, we know who they are. We know it's the Bengals. We know it's been the Jets. We know it's been the Lions, right? You're in a top 10 position every year because you make the same damn mistakes every year. You think one player is going to fix you. You think you're one player away. He looks at the roster and says, man, we have to build a roster and create a window where we can be competitive in our own division. And we're not going to do that with just picking a quarterback and giving up all that draft capital down the road. So I just don't believe he's going to do that.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy. Was he sending a signal to the organization, or is he just a smart guy that likes the smart show?
He's a very smart guy. That I tell you what, he's a very intriguing player to me, very smart guy, and one of those guys who does cover warts and he can do whatever the heck he wants to do. So good for him, man. There's the dynasty that never was, right? The Green Bay Packers. You think about 30 years between Favre and between Aaron Rodgers, and they've got 2 championships combined.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a major fail that is. But he's great. I ended up watching that show last night. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I don't know if you know that.
I knew you like him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like me. It's very unfortunate. Most people do.
I would say that if he ever had some time just to spend with you, he would find you. He would find you. Like, you are like the most interesting man. You're like that commercial.
Well, if he just spent
some time to get to know you.
Yeah. 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 I like to think that. Well, who knows? Huh. All right, Schlereth. Good seeing you.
Likewise, buddy. Take care, man. See you soon.
All right, Mark Schlereth.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we were just discussing it. The Panthers had been looking to upgrade at the quarterback position, and the trade with the Jets has been in the works for some time. After their push for Matthew Stafford fell through, they reportedly reached out to the Jets about Sam Darnold in mid-February, and things started to heat up at Ohio State's Pro Day last week. Just a few days after San Francisco traded up to number 3, the Panthers GM said they weren't sure they'd get the quarterback they wanted in the 8th spot, so they went all in on Darnold and can now draft the best available player at number 8. They're still not ruling out drafting a quarterback.
By the way, they're also...
I know they have to say that. Like, I know Urban Meyer has to say like they're still evaluating Trevor Lawrence, but it's like, do you actually have to say that? We know you're not doing that.
Well, listen, the truth is sometimes you get lucky. Jacksonville needs a star quarterback.
Right.
Oh, God, there is one. Cincinnati could really use an offensive lineman. Oh, there's a great one. You know what Carolina needs today? A corner and a left tackle. Well, guess what? It's a great draft for left tackles and corners, and they'll get the first one. They'll probably get Penei Sewell or Slater. So in the end, Carolina's a little lucky. Jacksonville's a little lucky. Now, then you get into the Atlanta, where what we need, we don't really want to draft at the 4 spot. So we've always kind of felt Atlanta was going to move out of that.
Well, they're kind of the key to the draft at this point. With the moves that have been made, they're the last piece that feels like it could slide out. I don't think Cincinnati is going to do anything, and they've been pretty vocal that they want a high-level player at that position.
So Giants are lucky, by the way. The Giants need offensive line, and at 11, they'll probably get Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, the people that have needed to move have moved or have made the moves like Carolina to get Sam Darnold. So James Harden returned for the Nets last night after missing 2 games with hamstring tightness. It was short-lived. He left the game with the same injury early in the first quarter, but the rest of the team picked up the slack. Kyrie had 40 points, Jeff Green had 23, and Joe Harris added 16 in the 114-112 win over the Knicks. It was their 8th straight win at home. Kyrie, 40, 2 rebounds and 7 assists.
And not playing the 2 of their 3 best players.
I think that the Nets are really an incredible story, because I had no idea what this was going to look like. And obviously we didn't know that Harden was going to join the team before the season started, or that KD was going to be injured for the stretch that he's been out. But they've really put together a great chemistry and culture in a very short amount of time. And they're all buying into it. I mean, this looked like it was going to be one of those things. I mean, obviously, look, they still need to win a championship. They have championship expectations at this point with this roster and everything that they've done. But they're just making it happen however they need to. And role players are stepping up. And Kyrie puts up 40. And
in the East, you can literally be missing KD and Harden and win games. It's much harder in the West. But in the East, I mean, like right now, and I just didn't think all this. I mean, my takeaway is that this is KD, Harden, Kyrie is one basketball. But in the end, so much of this game now is in the NBA is just points. You can't stop anybody. You can't hand check. You can't. And you look at them. Nobody even matches up in the East. Boston just doesn't have the shooters. They don't have the star power. Philadelphia, I still think, needs another shooter. I think Brooklyn may roll, like, and I mean sweep, sweep, sweep through this thing.
I think so, too. So Aaron Rodgers' first episode as guest host of Jeopardy aired last night. One of the best moments came during Final Jeopardy when one of the contestants brought up a painful memory from last year's NFC Championship game.
Did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect.
That's kind of funny.
He really has great hosting poise. I was very impressed that he gave it a beat. You know, he let the reaction happen.
Timing.
Yeah, he didn't jump to but he's not a reactionary guy. Like, he's a very methodical speaker. Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a great talk show, a great game show host with a mustache, though.
Here you are with his mustache.
Now name it.
You didn't go at Schlereth for his mustache.
What time out? What'd you guys say? Trebek?
Yeah,
well, Trebek. But it was silver. You can barely see it.
Very iconic mustache.
Okay, name another.
hosts with mustaches.
Gene Rayburn, I do not believe. Bill Cullen.
What is your deal with mustaches?
Pat Sajak. It changes. Steve Harvey.
Yes.
Now you guys are just throwing crap out there.
Steve's got a strong mustache.
That's an aggressive mustache.
Yes.
I think when you have a mustache, it changes the temperature in the room.
To what?
To very alpha, very aggressive. Now, Steve Harvey is a big man, isn't he?
So yeah, but mustache, usually he has a big presence.
He's a big presence. Steve's got big presence.
Yeah, but Trebek, I wouldn't say had a... He was
sophisticated.
Very, like, poised and sophisticated.
Very
yeah.
Canadian. Maybe I'm overthinking the room on the mustache.
I think you probably are. there's varying, like, types of mustaches, though. And Aaron has a whole beard. It's not like just... There's a different look, like, between the beard and the mustache and, like, just a mustache.
Aaron's a werewolf. He's nothing but hair. God, I mean, seriously, look at his hair.
No, he's not.
Look at how thick his hair is.
I think if most guys had that hair, they would have their hair long.
Yeah, he's nothing but hair.
You have to get a haircut every other day. That's why you didn't like the mustache, because it's too much upkeep. That's what it is.
It is.
You are a very low-maintenance person.
I don't like maintenance.
You don't like a lot going on, and the mustache is an extra commitment to your day.
I can't do it.
You don't want to deal with.
Don't want to deal with it.
I understand that. It's very Steve Jobs of you. You like the same thing.
I wear the same.
The same way. I park in the same spot, eat the same thing for breakfast, like the same routine.
So I'm a Capricorn.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Can't waste time.
I don't like wasting time and energy on things
that
don't
careers
matter.
Career ladders to climb.
We've got checks to cash. We can't be worrying about mustaches.
I am so sadly self-absorbed today. I don't know. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Well, I forgot what we're doing in Best for Last today. Well, it was something interesting. Oh, I remember what we're doing. Gonzaga's lost last night. The championship series or games that really shocked us, that really caught us off guard. It wasn't that Gonzaga lost. It was over in 6 minutes. It wasn't even competitive. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3-and-Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches. Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3-and-Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out the How We Reach coaching tool. It's a free app you can download at reach.gov. You'll find steps everybody could take to prevent suicide. Reach for support. Reach for those who need help. Download the How We Reach app at reach.gov today. So last night was a shocking outcome. Gonzaga was 30-0. They'd rolled through the tournament. And I thought we'd take a look back at just surprising finishes. Fights, series, games, and you look back, we could have done 30 of these, but we thought we'd take you back to ones that were more significant. So let's start with last night. Gonzaga loses to Baylor. First of all, it's not that they lost, it's how they lost. The game was over in minutes. Gonzaga's 16-point loss is the largest loss by a number one seed ever in the NCAA title game. It was 9-0, 11-1. It was over in minutes, and with Baylor's defense, you fall behind by 11-12. The only way you're catching up is hitting threes, and Gonzaga, for all their talent offensively, is not a great three-point shooting team. That's not what they do. They score 40 points a game with their two bigs. So I thought it was a pretty surprising outcome over in like 5 minutes. How about the Chiefs losing to the Patriots in the Super Bowl? Never forget this. The Chiefs were 25-1 in which games Mahomes had started. They didn't score a touchdown. They were favored, and they had faced each other in week 12. Mahomes had a perfect quarterback rating, threw for 465 yards, and they had a 17-0 fourth quarter lead, moved at will, and they could not score a touchdown and were flustered for 4 hours. Nick Foles beats the Patriots. Now think about that. Nick Foles, the career backup. They were a 5.5-point dog. Nick Foles actually outplayed Brady. 106.1 passer rating. It was the most yards ever in a Super Bowl game. Nobody thought Foles and Brady would be the greatest offensive Super Bowl in league history. There were trick plays. I mean, Eli Manning's going to get Hall of Fame votes. He beat Brady. Nick Foles outdueled Tom Brady. How about the 2016 Warriors? 73 regular season wins. This one I think we forget. 73 season wins. That's the all-time best record. That team, Golden State, started the year. Do you remember the story? 24-0. Okay. Veteran teams generally don't start seasons undefeated. They gradually move into it. The Warriors jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the series, and they're the first team to ever blow a 3-1 series lead. I still contend this is LeBron's greatest play in his career, that block against Iggy, Andre Iguodala. It's one of the great games, and you know what's funny in that series? The games were all blowouts. But this, the second half of that game, may have been the best single half in NBA Finals history.
That was remarkable.
Oh, first of all, how tense was it?
Yeah, I remember. I can go back to, like, watching it.
God, it was just a... Steph Curry was... Oh, God, it was nuts. How about the 2007 Patriots go undefeated and then lose to the offensively challenged New York Giants? First of all, that year, New England didn't just beat people. Their point differential was plus 315 points. They were the only team ever to go undefeated. And if you, what I remember about this game, in the very first series, New England tried, it was a reverse or a screen, and it got completely snuffed. And you had Strahan and Tuck and Osiu Mainora, and just New England's offensive line was overwhelmed. That that was a shocker. How about this one? About 15 years ago, 16 years ago, Lakers lose to the Pistons in the finals. And it was in five games. It was a blowout. Detroit, Rip Hamilton, didn't really have a star. The Lakers had Kobe, Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, and they were held under 90 points in four of the games. They were an overwhelming, prohibitive favorite in the series. Lakers' only win in that series was in an overtime game. Can you imagine that? Shaq, Kobe, Carl. God, Detroit was just gritty, played defense. All right, how about this? Tyson, Holyfield 2. Now, they had fought 7 months earlier. Holyfield upset Tyson. Tyson entered the fight at that point, 45-2. So this was the Mike Tyson redemption. Oh, no. Holyfield won the first three rounds. Tyson was so frustrated, he essentially quit. He bit Holyfield's ear. So Holyfield in the rematch, and I remember this thinking, okay, this is the, no, it was worse than the first. Total, utter domination by Evander Holyfield. How about the 1988 Oakland A's? They won 104 games in the regular season. Canseco had 42 jacks, McGuire 32, and Dennis Eckersley was the best reliever. And the Dodgers beat him in five games, routed them. At that time, Oral Hershiser was great. He won a couple of games in that World Series. The A's would go on to win the following year. Many believe, I was talking to Bob Costas recently, that was the most talented team top to bottom. You know, you have to go back a long time. Like Tony Phillips hit ninth. He was like an all-star. It was like, it was a loaded team, and the Dodgers didn't beat him. That was the Kirk Gibson home run. They beat him in five. Flushed him right out. So those are some of the upsets. You know, it is interesting. Steve Lavin was on earlier. I don't really take anything away from Gonzaga. I mean, the bottom line is Kansas City could not score a touchdown. Do I think they're bad? The Warriors had a 3-1 series lead. Blew it. Do I think they're bad? I mean, the bottom line is, I remember going to that. I was at that Super Bowl. The New England Patriots, I watched. They had beaten the same Giants team in week 16 in New York. I was in a bar in New York. I remember this. Watched the game. And it was fairly close. The defensive line was good. But it was like New England was kind of sleepwalking. They were 15-0. I think it was the last Sunday of the NFL, and they beat New York in New York. And it was there was nothing you could take from it. And then you go back to that Super Bowl. New York should have won by more. Completely dominated the Patriots. So I think if you look at Gonzaga, Gonzaga is about the 10th hole in golf, the 11th hole. I think they're about in the fifth or sixth inning. For the first time ever, Jalen Suggs, a guy that Kentucky wanted and Kansas wanted, chose Gonzaga. And next year's class already has one of those kind of one-and-done players and potentially two. And they return a lot of the good players. So, listen, Baylor was great. Baylor was a class. It's the old magician's trick. We spent so much time looking at the left hand, you don't see what the magician's doing with the right hand. We spent so much time talking about the historic nature of Gonzaga, we didn't notice that Baylor was drubbing everybody on the other side. Their closest game was 9 points. And you knew, I mean, you're watching that game. It was 11-1. You're like, if Gonzaga doesn't go on a run here, they're going to be down 15. You're not coming back on Baylor's defense down 14. You're not.
It just felt like they could get no momentum going. No,
you know, and I was thinking about this too, Joy. Is if you go back, and this is, I fall for this too. I fell for it again last night. This is certain things you just fall for in sports. Because, I mean, look at the NBA. Ben Wallace, Darnell Valentine, Bobby Jones, Reuben Patterson, great defensive players. We don't talk about them. They didn't make big money. It's an offensive league, right? But when you get that Lakers-Pistons series is a classic example. When you pit a great defense against a great offense, the defense almost always wins. Because, and I can remember playing high school basketball. I always remember this, is that you take any great offense, Gonzaga, great offense, Kansas City, great offense, Patriots, great offense, Tyson, great offense. The way to make even a great offense uncomfortable is to put your body on them and speed them up. So they have to shoot faster and dribble. Gonzaga last night couldn't handle the ball. And it's almost like even if you were a great typer, a typist, and you could type 90 words a minute, if I said do 125, you'd make way more errors.
Of course.
And so last night, Gonzaga, you just didn't – every shot was contested. You just couldn't beat Baylor. You couldn't break him down off the ball. And in the end, Gonzaga was forced to take hurried shots and faster shots and contested shots. And just like the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, you don't have 3 seconds. You can have about 1.7 seconds. It's amazing how average Patrick Mahomes looks when he's hurried 36 times on a football game.
Well, what do they say? Defense wins championships.
Well, it certainly, it's something to think about. Great offense, great defense. The defense usually wins.
Well, I think Lav said this earlier. It's very rare when you have a team that is perfectly balanced with a great defense and a great offense.
And Baylor was the team.
Generally, when you have a team that is great offensively, the defensive side of the ball isn't necessarily their focus throughout the season. So if you're a balanced team that can go all out on defense and make three-pointers like Baylor was doing, it's going to make somebody like Gonzaga uncomfortable and they're going to lose.
That's why the greatest NBA team I've ever seen is the Chicago Bulls with Jordan. You think about Jordan and Pippen, but they weren't a great three-point shooting team. Kukoc and Kerr, Paxson could hit threes. What made that team unique was Ron Harper – at one point was a 24-point-a-game guy. They just brought him over for defense. I mean,
Rodman.
Rodman could play defense, and Jordan's a great on-ball. And then Pippen was a great defender. They never had a great rim protector. That's not what it was. They were so long and so flexible and so – they could just do so many things.
And strong.
Physically strong, sinewy, thin, aggressive, long. So, yeah, I mean, I'm watching that last night, and I'm like, Gonzaga is just uncomfortable despite all their talent offensively. Supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Check it out. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping, 60-day, money back, guarantee, nothing to lose. Get leaner and stronger. Good stuff today. Any day I can do another mock draft is money, baby. Speak for yourself. Thanks, Joy, and everybody. Coming up next.